It's the Marketplace Tech Podcast for April 30th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. Microsoft hasn't been the world's hottest tech company for a while, not when compared to Apple, Samsung, or Google. A few years after its Surface tablet seemed to fall flat, after its Windows phone failed to capture the imaginations of a sea of consumers, the company might be climbing back into the consumer tech limelight. It's getting help from some new ideas in software and hardware. This week, its Build conference for developers is underway, and senior tech correspondent Molly Wood has been reporting on it. Hi, Molly.
How's it going?
You made it through the long Build presentation.
I did. I'm still shaking out the pins and needles from the three-hour keynote.
I want to talk about porting apps.
Yeah, the problem that Microsoft has had with Windows Phone in particular is that developers don't really want to build apps for it. And so compared to iOS or Android, you can't always get a lot of the apps that you're used to using if you switch to Windows Phone. So what they announced today is developer tools that will make it really, really, really easy to make your Android, your existing Android or iOS app run on Windows Phone.
And the idea is basically, if I'm a person who has built an app for the iPhone, I can almost copy and paste that code and it'll essentially start to work on the Windows Phone.
Exactly. It involves a lot of words like compile, but the way that you have described it is essentially accurate. And if that's true and it works, then it is a huge boon for Windows Phone, no question.
You just said compile. Let's talk about Continuum.
So Continuum is a feature that will be included in Windows 10. It's a feature that will let you use your Windows 10 phone as your computer. So you bring home the phone, you plug it into a monitor using HDMI, and the device will actually go into a desktop mode and act like a computer.
I've always dreamt of this, that your phone just becomes your computing device, but it would potentially be more useful for students or people who are traveling a lot in a place where it's more difficult to carry around your computing equipment with you or something like that.
It could be, yeah. Or, I mean, like you said, it is sort of the dream to just have one device.
All right. I've been obviously stalking your Twitter feed, but I also saw you tweeting about the idea that Build this year is really developer-focused in a way that it hasn't been in the past.
Build is a developer conference, but it was funny because this year there is so much attention on it, and yet Microsoft devoted arguably 2 hours to hardcore developer discussion of cloud services. There was coding on stage. I mean, they're very serious about wooing developers and not trying to turn this into some big, sexy, substance-free press event.
Marketplace senior tech correspondent Molly Wood. Molly, thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Google is growing its chunk of spending on resources in Europe. In the last year, the company has tripled spending on lobbyists in EU capital Brussels to $5 million. Hard to tell if that's paying off. Regulators have accused the company of using its powerful position as a search engine to undermine the competition. As the investigation heats up, let's check in with our friend and Harvard's Berkman Center co-founder Jonathan Zittrain. Jonathan, how are you?
I'm well, thank you.
We're getting to the point now where it's looking like Google is going to suffer at least a little bit at the hands of EU regulators, yes?
Well, they've certainly been around the block on this at least one other time, and now the regulators are ready to be aggressive.
And what's really sort of the issue here?
The specific worries represented by the regulators' actions have to do with a very specific thing, which is Google Shopping. In this case, Google will, if you, for instance, ran a search for, I don't know, aquariums, it would have its own house ad, and it would show a bunch of possible fish tanks for you to buy.
Sure.
The Europeans are concerned that that basically leverages Google's popularity for searching for stuff online into being very powerful as a source of aquariums or the
right.
gatekeeper for those who want to sell it.
Is it dangerous for a company, in this case Google, to allow some changes here because they feel legally like as soon as they give an inch, Europe is going to take a mile?
I would certainly be looking at this strategically and saying, whatever might be conceded in Europe, other regions and countries are going to say, well, wait, maybe you should have to do that here too.
Is there a comparison to be made here to Microsoft?
Well, there may be a cultural comparison to be made. I think the thing to keep in mind is it's the job of a company to make its shareholders happy and be aggressive and maximize its profits. But the fundamental question under it is, how easy is it to compete in that services? I mean, Google has a lot of lobbyists, but they still have more PhDs. I mean, they're just like slurping up talented people that know how to crunch numbers and do very cool things with otherwise not very interesting data. But there's something called Common Crawl, and that's an example of people coming together to at least crawl the web, which is sort of a prerequisite to making a good search engine that searches the web, so that anybody could build something cool on top of it. And I think that's not a bad effort to see if there can be other models for ensuring some form of possible competition in the space.
Our friend at Harvard, Jonathan Zittrain. Jonathan, thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
And you know that part from the movie High Fidelity when Jack Black's character asks an important question about Stevie Wonder's career?
Is it better to burn out than to fade away?
Secret, the anonymous sharing app that launched just over a year ago, is shutting its doors, not for lack of trying for success, with the help of $35 million in venture capital funding, some of it, by the way, from Google Ventures. CEO David Bataille said this week that the app, quote, does not represent the vision I had when starting the company. That might be a reference to the app being used by some for cyberbullying. Maybe the anonymous app trend should burn out after all. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's our show today. This is APM.
Oscar Gomez was a Chicano student activist in the 90s, a radio DJ and a rising star.
He was fire. He was charisma incarnate. Everyone had a crush on him.
He was a voice of people who didn't have a voice.
Until his sudden and mysterious death. What happened to Oscar? Imperfect Paradise, The Forgotten Revolutionary, wherever you get your podcasts.